All right, let's open up to Joshua. Read from there to get things started. Joshua chapter 3. Just something I was reading the other day, and something sort of stuck out to me here. Joshua chapter 3, and we'll start reading from verse 9. A few verses go through, but bear with me. Verse 9, it reads, "And Joshua said unto children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God." This is a big background before they're going to the sort of promised land area. "And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan." And amazing miracle here. We know of the Red Sea parting, and then that's an amazing miracle. We know that story there. And here's the River Jordan here just parting. And you know, it's so the Israelites could pass over and get to just near Jericho there. And I guess something that just stood out, and you know, it's probably quite obvious, is that they were instructed here, the priests were instructed to go first and to have the ark with them and to go first, and that the people to follow after them. And my talk today is just simple. It's about putting God first. And I've sort of got a line here saying, putting the things of God first makes things happen. And this is what they were instructed to do. They were the priests there. They were representatives of God, and they had the ark there. And I'll get to that in a moment. But they were instructed to go first. And once they went first, and as soon as they touched the River Jordan there, something amazing happened. And in the scriptures, it talks about Jesus being made a high priest forever. So Jesus is who we look to now, and you know, that high priest, he's a deliverer, he's the one that makes things open to us. He's the one that opens up the blessings for us. So we're the people, we're like the Israelites here, we follow the Lord. And if we put the Lord first, if we have him go before us, he can make things open up, and the blessings or the situations that we're trying to get through, he can make a way of escape for us. So Jesus upholds and fills, I guess, what the things in the ark represents. And I'm going to go through that a little bit. Don't turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4, it talks about what was in the ark. And you probably know, but it says there was the golden pot that had manna, there was Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments there. And I was sort of thinking about these things a little bit, you know, these things that were in the ark, and they represented different things. And I guess Aaron's rod that budded, and when you read a little bit about it, I guess for me it's like they had to put their sticks down, and I think there was 12 of them, and Aaron's rod came back as the one that budded. And I guess when the Lord chooses us, you know, we blossom, don't we? We're like this shining light. And Aaron was chosen as a representative of God. And, you know, he's chosen us, selected us to be fruitful. And, you know, it says also that there was some, I think, almonds on the rod there. And I looked a little bit into that, and it says in Jeremiah, it's about God watching over his word to fulfill it. So I guess Aaron was there to represent God and to fulfill his word and be a spokesperson for him. And we're a spokesperson for the Lord once we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So there was Aaron's rod in there that budded, it blossomed. And I guess it was also, I guess you look at it as a sense that it's in the ark there to represent God fulfilling his word or watching over his word and making sure it comes to pass. And also a sign against the rebels that it says elsewhere. So there's that in the ark there. And Aaron's rod was also able to perform miracles in Egypt. So, you know, it was amazing, I guess, amazing thing there. Tables of the covenant, quite simple, 10 commandments, and it's God's instructions or his guidance to his people. And then there's a golden pot with manna. And I guess that sustained the people of Israel as they were in the wilderness there. God gave them every day, except the Sunday, but they had to take double on the Saturday there. But he provided and he sustained the people as they were walking through the wilderness. And so there was some of that was in the Ark of the Covenant there. And I guess we put the things of God first, and if we put those things first, if we uphold the word of God, what he says, and his instruction, his guidance, and if we be a fruitful, I guess, a good testimony for the Lord, and we're going about serving the Lord and doing what we should be doing, he's going to bless us. And if we put him first, he's going to sustain us. He's going to look after us, isn't he? And I guess that's what the manna represents, that, you know, the Lord is going to sustain his people, and we just need to make sure that we're looking to him. And, you know, the manna came from above, you know, so we need to look to the Lord, I guess, figuratively speaking, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord for that provision there, and he'll sustain our every need. He'll sustain us naturally, but as we heard this morning, you know, it's the spiritual things that we're after, and, you know, he'll sustain us spiritually if we are looking to him. He'll give us what we need. So I guess going back to Jesus as being that high priest, he's the one who's came to fulfill that now. We follow the Lord, and the Lord went through a lot. He suffered on the cross so we could have the blessings that we received, don't we? He was whipped, he was beaten. He didn't have to go through that. He could have just died and we got forgiveness of sins. Great. But he went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, so we could enjoy the benefits of that. We could enjoy all the healings and the blessings and the provisions that come from that. So Jesus, in the sense, I guess he's like the ark there. He's got all these things to make us blossom, to provide for us, to give us guidance and instructions, but we need to put him first. We need to have him go before us. And if we do let him go before us and look to him, then amazing things can open up. If we go up to 1 Kings chapter 17, this little story in there that goes along the theme I'm talking about, 1 Kings 17. So all these blessings to us are now available because of what Jesus did. And I guess also with the ark there, that the people, the Israelites, still had to follow. They could have got there and said, no, we're not doing it. But they still had to follow, and the priest stood firm, they stood there, and Jesus stands firm, and we can trust in him. He's a rock. And but we still got to follow. We still got to follow through with it. We've got to trust him that he knows what he's doing. You know, walking through there could have still been a bit scary seeing the waters up on the side there, but you just had to trust that the Lord knew what he was doing and go through with it. And sometimes it's going to be a little bit hard, even if it doesn't look right in our natural sense, but we know that the Lord knows, his ways are higher than our ways, so we have to trust him. 1 Kings 17, verse 7, just cutting into the story here, there's a famine in the land, and Elijah, we'll read it in verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook had dried up because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, so to Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, nor did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. And another amazing miracle here. This lady, as we read, you know, she's pretty much getting her last meal together. Her and her son, it was a famine, and she knew that, you know, this was going to be it. And, you know, it'd be a hard situation if someone come up to you and you thought, you know, it's my last meal, you know. Maybe, you know, your last cheeseburger or something, I don't know. It's for Andy. You know, it'd be a bit like, oh, you know, I've got to give it to someone else. But, you know, she's been asked by this man of God here, you know, give it to me first. And if you do that, you'll be sustained. And she did, you know. It might have been a tough thing. She trusted what he said. And it said here that after she did that cruse of oil, that barrel of meal there, it didn't fail her. You know, it just kept, you know, being, you know, resupplying, and she was able to obviously survive, her and her son, and they were looked after. And you know, I guess the point here is the man of God was fed first and she was sustained. And if we put Jesus first, you know, he's the man of God, isn't he? If we put Jesus first in our life, he'll sustain us. You know, it's such a simple concept, but if we put him first, and if we feed that, again, you know, the Holy Spirit inside of us, we feed that spiritual man first. You know, the natural things, the things that we need, God knows that what we need. It was said earlier, he'll look after us. We just need to apply that concept of putting him first. And this is, a great story for us to take encouragement from, that, you know, she was at the point of dying. She was on her last, you know, last meal here. It was really, really dire straits. And she had enough faith to put God first, well, this man of God first in this situation, and see what would happen. And an amazing thing did happen. And, you know, we're in all sorts of situations. Sometimes we might be in that situation where it's really looking quite bleak, and we put God first and something amazing happens. But quite often or not, we're in a pretty, you know, cruisy or pretty comfortable situation, and it can be easily to forget sometimes, you know, to keep putting God first, because things are going well, you know. You know, things are going quite good. You just think, oh yeah, I'm just cruising along. There's nothing, you know, too drastic happening in my life. But as our brother said in his testimony, something could just happen all of a sudden. And, you know, you really need to rely on the Lord. And I think if we're doing it constantly, we're just putting God first constantly, you know, whether things are good or bad or in between, you know, the Lord's going to look after us and sustain us and give us what we need. So continue feeding that spiritual man, putting Jesus first, and you'll be blessed. Numbers 15. Please. Numbers 15, a few verses. Verse 17, see some instruction here to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for a heave offering, as you do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall you heave it. Of the first of your dough you shall give unto the Lord an heave offering in your generations. And I guess the thing that stuck out to me here was, you know, I want you to give me an offering of your dough here, but it's got to be the first bit. The first bit, the first thing you do. You know, that heave offering of the first bit of your dough. And, you know, he wants it, I guess, how sort of looking at it is, you know, we it's good to sort of get the Lord involved early, you know, or maybe early in your day, and you know, when things are a bit more fresh. And I guess the first bit of the dough there, it's going to be the freshest. You know, it's just been done, it's been mixed and whatever, water, flour and all that sort of stuff, and it's going to be the freshest. If you leave it at the end of the day and give him that, it's sort of a bit more stale and a bit more older. And the Lord wants the best. He wants the best of us. And, you know, I guess if we're giving him our best, you know, we're not just sort of thinking, oh, I'll just tack God on the end of the day or tack God somewhere and he's not really at the highest priority of my day. It's sort of like a little bit stale. It's not sort of like, you know, your best. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants the best of us. And he's not asking for a lot, you know, the first of your dough. He didn't ask for half of it or, you know, 80% of it, 90% of it. He said just the first of it. And the attitude is, you know, he just wants the best that we can give. And if we're putting him first and we have him at the top of our life, you know, we are giving him our best. You know, he's going to be happy with that. And that's what he wanted from these guys here, from the Israelites, and saying to Moses, you know, make sure it's the first. You know, it's just not stale stuff. It's just not sort of tacked on the end, that you are giving me the best of what you got. You're offering up these good things, these fresh things to me. Psalm chapter 5. A few scriptures. I'm trying to get through a few. And I guess it sort of leads into this verse here. Psalm 5, just a few verses. Okay, Psalm of David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord," verse 1, "consider my meditation. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." And we know the Lord really, really loved King David. He had a heart that, you know, he just really loved, you know. And you could just see that this guy was serious about following him. Even though he made mistakes, he just knew that his heart was in it. And he's saying, King David here was saying, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and we'll look up." And King David, you know, he had things in the right place there. And, you know, this obviously this isn't a, you know, a law and something you have to do. Maybe you pray at different times and it works better for you in the evening or at middle of the day when the kids are sleeping or something. I don't know. But I guess if you do have the opportunity, and from what I've read here and all that, it's good to sort of get up and get the Lord involved right at the start if you can. You know, in the morning here, King David's, you know, he's praying to the Lord, and, you know, maybe it was the first thing on his mind when he woke up. You know, he's like, all right, I'm going to get down and thank the Lord. You know, it's the start of this day. I've got things, you know, planned or whatever. I'm going to get down, I'm going to put the Lord first and, you know, give him my best. You know, I'm at my freshest then, maybe. Maybe you're at your freshest 2 hours later when you've sort of woken up a bit more. I don't know. Whatever works for you. But I guess if you do have the opportunity, I think it's a sort of a good formula to follow if you can, and you can make that available. It's sort of like you got the Lord involved in your day straight away. I sort of look at it this way, that at the end of the day, if you sort of tick off, what have I achieved today? And if you tick off, you know, I've prayed to the Lord and nothing else happens, you think, well, I've done the most important thing I could do, you know. If nothing else happens in the day, I've prayed to God, well, I've done the most important thing, you know. If it's like ticking off all these things, then you get to the end of the day and think, oh, where's prayer to God? Ooh, oh, no, I've done all these other things, but I've sort of missed the most important thing, you know. You sort of, I think we've sort of got things around the wrong way. So, yeah, it's just, like I said, it's not a law. It's not like if you don't pray first thing, you know, God's not going to be happy with you or anything like that. I just think it's an attitude we could maybe look at and introduce and you know, if it's something you haven't been doing and just see what happens from that. But King David, obviously, it worked for him. And even Daniel, I think Daniel prayed morning, lunch and evening. Maybe, you know, we can't all do that. You know, with different circumstances or whatever. But I guess with those guys, they had the Lord as their focus. The Lord was their focus. They knew prayer to God was, and talking to God was something that they needed to do and that they would benefit from that. All right, just a few more scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, please. We all know this one and you probably know where I'm leading to with this, but you can't sort of give a talk about this without reading the scripture. In Psalm 37, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart." So when you're happy and delighting yourself in the Lord and getting him involved, you know, he's going to sort out those other things, the desires of your heart. Matthew 6, verse 31, it says, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or where shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the day we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we made that decision. We made the decision to seek God first and the kingdom, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We decided to seek God's righteousness, and we put other things in our life aside, and we decided to do that, and he came through. He filled us with the Holy Spirit, and he gave us a start of our blessed life with him. But we have to, that formula is something we want to keep doing. And, it wasn't just for that first day. It's something that we need to keep doing regularly in our life. And he'll add all these things unto us. He looks after the birds, as it says before this, the fowls of the air, the creatures on this earth. How much more is he going to look after us? I guess he's his ultimate creation. And, we're not to worry. We're just put him first and things will work out. And I reckon it's great. If God's working something out for you, and it's of God, it's going to be the best thing for you, isn't it? If you work it out in your own strength, in your own natural mind, there could be failings in that. Things could be wrong, But if you think, okay, God, you sort that out and he's sorting it out, you think, well, he knows what the best outcome is, and it's going to be the best outcome for me. And you can just trust him in that it's going to be good. So if we put him first, he's going to obviously, we're going to reap the benefit of that. All right, one last scripture, Matthew 38. Sorry, Mark 4. Wow, it's totally different. Mark 4. Yeah, Mark chapter 4. We won't go there, but in Matthew 16, it talks about, if we come after him, he wants us to take up our cross daily, and it is a daily walk. We don't think too far ahead. It's like, just worry enough on our plate today to get through. Tomorrow will come. When that comes, get the Lord involved then, but just get through today. And if we take up our cross daily and just look to him on a daily basis, we'll get through. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. All right, so this is disciples and Jesus on the ship here in verse 38. And he, this is Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I was just reading a little bit about this, and it was in the hinder part of the ship, which is the stern, and it was the back of the ship, and he was sleeping, and I don't know, maybe he got on there, and he said, where can I have a bit of a lay down, whatever, and they put him at the back of the ship there, and he was sleeping, having a rest, and he thought, maybe he was testing him. But then the wind came, and they were a bit afraid and a bit worried, and they went and got him, and he came up, and he did something. And I sort of thought, where is Jesus in our life? Is he in the back of the ship of our life? Is he sort of in the back there, a bit dormant because you've sort of just let things slide a little bit, Is he sort of sleeping in your life because you haven't really been praying much, or you haven't really been getting him involved much in your life, and he's sort of sleeping in the back there? Or is he at the front of the ship? Is he at the front of the ship guiding you, directing you, and helping you along? And that's where we want him to be, don't we? We want him to be, at the front of our ship there, guiding us and directing us. We don't want to put Jesus away at the back there, just sort of squashing him down, letting him sort of, almost like he's asleep. We want him at the front there. And when they woke him and got him involved, as we read at the start there in Joshua, when the Ark of the Covenant went before the people, amazing things happened. And Jesus here, he rebuked the sea, amazing thing happened. And just going back to my first thing, point there, put the things of God first, and things will happen. Great things will happen, and keep the things of God at the front of our life. And if we're doing that, it's great. It's great to have someone go before you. I'm a bit of a cricket fan, and sometimes I'd open the batting, and it's really nervous being the first person to face the first ball of the game, because you do not want to get out first ball of the game. And as soon as that happens, or if someone else decides to go first, it's a bit of a relief. You can sort of stand back. Someone else takes that on. And I'm sure we've all been in a situation where,
you don't really want to be the first person to do something. You sort of want to see how someone else goes about it, and then you think, oh yeah, I can, you know, I can do that, or I'll go next. But you want to sort of see how things pan out first. You know, we've got the Lord going first in our life if we let Him. He'll go before us. He knows the situations we go through. He's been here on earth. He feels our pain. He knows how we operate. He'll go before us. He'll clear the path. He'll make a, you know, smooth sailing for us. Even though there might be some bumps along the way, there'll be a good end, at the end there, if we let Him control our ship, guide us, and we keep putting Him first. All right, I'll leave it there. Amen.